is Leanne Sermon. I'm 15 years old. Today is November 26th, 2017, and I'm speaking with Ibrahim Sermon, who is my dad. We're recording this interview in Ashburn, Virginia. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
One of the favorite memories of you is when you were 3 years old and I was having the birthday party and we cooked and we had a staff all around scheduled to have a nice party for me. And my daughter, Leanne Sheremet, even though she's allergic to wheat and everything, she decided to eat the whole cake by herself. We came and find her, the whole cake eaten, and my birthday was the best ever.
Can you tell me about someone who has the biggest influence on your life?
One of the biggest influence in my life started before my marriage when I met my future father-in-law, Dr. Jamal Brzezinski. He was my dean at university at that time. He is the guy who showed me a way forward when I did not look that there may be the way forward. He is the guy who taught me about the religion, about dedication, about hard work. He is the guy who taught me to be the father who I am and the value of the family. So one of the biggest influence in my life, in early, you know, part of my life, was him guiding me to that. One of the good value stories he taught me and he implemented in me was when first time I came in America in 98, did not have a job, just finished graduate and everything. He was the one guy who basically helped me get my first initial job. I was working at a printing press at that time, being a supervisor slash manager in the printing press. This was going from Virginia, going all the way to the Maryland. And being a supervisor manager, in my mind, I am thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm not going to work much. I'm going to just go there in the morning early, driving, you know, 2 hours just to get to the work. And what happens was basically it was more into the, you are the supervisor manager, but you are doing everything like everybody else, you know, picking up the boxes, cleaning up the, you know, garbage, cleaning the toilets. So everything was part of those jobs. You know, I came back, make sure that I was complaining, you know, as a young adult, you know, and saying, oh, this is not what I expected. He really put it into me that, you know, working hard and ensuring that you make sure that your job is done and you will appreciate the value and become a man who I am now just because you are hard worker and dedicated to the things what you do and you do it to completion.
Are there any traditions that have been passed down through our family that you can tell me about?
One of the traditions which originally came from my home country, I'm originally from Bosnia and Herzegovina, is that once we have a newborn, it comes to the family, we, instead of giving a present or anything like that, tradition in Bosnia at that time was to actually come in and give a money under the pillow. So if the baby is in a crib or in bassinet or whatever it is, we will actually give that cash. That tradition has been there as long as I'm alive and as long as I know it, and it's been carrying, you know, within my country till this day. What I did and implemented or tried to do it is within USA when I came to make sure that we carry the same tradition what I did in Bosnia to America. So when my kids were born, I even did it for my kids, Leon including, as well as Leon cousins and others.
Can you share some of your favorite memories of your parents?
One of the favorite memories and memories ever of my parents were us spending summer holidays on the beach. So being originally from Bosnia and Herzegovina, and where usually we were able to take much longer summer breaks than in USA, where you have 1 or 2 weeks max, in back home we were able to take almost 3 months of vacation that we were spending camping. So every year we were going to the beach for 3 months camping with my parents and my friends, and having a great time doing that. One of the things, what my father was very competitive and always tried to push the boundaries between me, my friend, and other friends, to see who can do more push-ups and ensure that we are competitive. And even though it was all in a spirit of the fun, and we still did it. One day he challenged me, my friend, and his dad to see who can do the most of the push-ups, and if he does that, he will give us $20, let's assume, in that currency, which is our money. We did it. I did the most of it. I work hardest and everything, and he gave me the money. But when I looked at the money and everything, I realized at that time that actually that was my money. See, he actually took my money, which I hid, and basically gave me the money, my own money, in the victory which I had. So that was one of the favorite moments of my, and still remember till this day.
Tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
I'm originally from Bosnia and Herzegovina, previously known as Yugoslavia. So I grew up in Bosnia, in really beautiful country that, As a child, I lived in a small town which has 3,000 people. So basically everybody knew everybody. You could not even walk out of the door that somebody didn't know you, or somebody didn't look at you and take care of you. It is such a difference than being in US, where you are living in neighborhoods and everything, and you know your neighbors and all that like that. But back home, everybody knew you. So everybody was a father, your uncle, your mother, cousins, all those were taking care of you and looking at you and everything. So we had my childhood was spent outside, playing outside, building this, building with friends, toys, building skis, building bikes, doing things, making trouble as much as possible, going and helping other people as well, trying to make the money. We played a lot outside. We trained a lot due to the fact that in previous Yugoslavia, sports like soccer and basketball were highly publicized and highly pushed. So a lot of people were trying to make the team, trying to get to the team. So we certainly spent a lot of time playing outside and ensuring that we can be, good athletes and everything. That was actually pushed by our government as well as our parents. Were trying to get us to not stay home and just be on TV and watch TV or videos or something like that. Just play outside and be a child and love it. Not like today, where a lot of people are just sitting on their iPads and iPhones, and that's the day, and games, and just spending that days doing it versus playing outside and growing like a child. One of the things which the huge difference between today's in, where we live, myself and my kids, is back home we were very poor. We did not have money. So it was very hard to have all the luxuries we have today in our house and what my kids actually have. We had to work hard for the things we have. My mom and dad work. I worked myself when I was a young teen, working, you know, carrying the cement and bricks and working every time to make sure that I had some of my pocket money and ensure that, you know, I was able to get ice cream or get something. So those are the things and values, you know, that I'm trying to insert into my kids today.
Did you have a nickname and how did you get it?
One of the nicknames which stick and I actually put it as my license plate today was Sherpa. And there's a story about it. And when I was a young kid, at one point, we were unable at that time to afford haircut. So my mom, you know, tried to be a hairdresser and everything, tried to cut my hair. She put the pot on my hair, on my head, and tried to cut it around it. So when she cut it, obviously she did not know how to fix it. So I went outside playing with my boys and they were like, "You look like Sherpa as a pot." And that sticked for a while. And the way I liked it, and I actually am not, you know, shy about it, that I put it on my car license plate, that now it's called Sherpa. Currently at work, due to the fact that my full name is Ibrahim Seremet, everybody at work will call me a million different names. So they'll call me Abraham, Abraham, Ibrahim, and everything. I actually went and shortened my name to Ebro, which was much easier for many people to pronounce and ensure that they are able to call me with my short name versus Ibrahim, which a lot of people struggle till this day.
Has your life been different from what you imagined as a teenager?
Yeah, certainly. My life has been like a roller coaster. Losing my parents at an early age, you know, being a teen without the parents was really tough and was a really shock for me in my early childhood and my teen life. Never imagined that I would, you know, be able to afford the things, to be able to, you know, have your own house or cars or anything like that, to be able to be a successful, you know, IT engineer as and be able to have two kids, you know, two beautiful kids to that are becoming teens themselves. I am very thankful with how life turned out and the things we have in this life and how much we appreciate the life as it is.
How did you meet my mom?
So one of the things is, as when I left my home country, Bosnia and Herzegovina, I actually immigrated to Malaysia, to Kuala Lumpur. And I was studying on international university in Malaysia. So being there, you know, learning my English and trying to, you know, go around and trying to understand all the things about new languages like English, Arabic and everything, you know, and going through school, I see this girl who was able to speak Arabic fluently. And I was like trying to really get help because me as a foreigner, obviously I can speak my language. I just learned English and now here they come. You need to learn Arabic as well. So she was fluent in Arabic. I was obviously first attracted to her. I saw her the way she was. She was a beautiful girl. And she was sitting there, but obviously I did not have strength, or I was way too shy to go and just ask her, "Hey, what's your name?" anything like that. So my perfect opportunity was, "Hey, could you please let me know what this means in Arabic?" So I came there, I gave it to her, and I'm like, you know, listen, I didn't know what this means. Could you please help me? And, you know, she's being very kind and very nice. She actually translated for me. And from that time, you know, every time I wanted to talk to her, you know, even though I have, you know, I knew what words meant and I knew the things, I always just wanted to ensure that I talked to her and be around her, because, you know, I couldn't tell her that time, but I really liked her and wanted to spend more time with her. So that's how we started. And the things, you know, went from Arabic to English to other subjects. I always needed help, and spending more and more time with her was, you know, a daily occurrence for me and her. Eventually she started liking me as well, and really we just from that day we just started liking each other. Over time, her and I, you know, meeting and being together and everything, you know, eventually I was able to get the courage and talk to her dad, who at that time was dean of university in the same college I was, and her family was with her in Malaysia. So we eventually get engaged and spend, you know, much more time. Her family took care of me while I was in Malaysia, due to the fact that, you know, I have lost my parents at that time, and, you know, they were, you know, extremely nice to me, accepted me like my own, like their own son, and, you know, the rest is history.
How did you find your way to your current job or career?
So that's a funny story. Early in my career, as I mentioned maybe earlier, is I was the supervisor / manager in printing press. So part of the job is you were cleaning the gutters, you were cleaning the bathrooms, you were carrying the boxes and doing everything for that, even though you were the manager, supervisor in that location. One of the days I was carrying the boxes and I heard a loud pop. And at that time, I did not even know what it is. So I continued carrying the boxes and working and doing stuff, filling, putting them into the truck. So came home and my wife is like, what's going on? You know, your arm hurts, or what is going on and everything. I was like, I don't know, my back hurts and everything. So I took my shirt off and just to check what's going on. And there is the big, huge black bruise on my back. So next morning, I went to the doctor to check it out, what's going on. And doctors say that I bursted the muscle in my back once I was incorrectly carrying the boxes, as he politely told me that. I took his criticism, and he gave me a cortisone shot injection to be better. And at that time, I realized, you know, I carry boxes. I do this for a living for a while now. I really look into career change. So that was a turning point in my life where, after that muscle issues or muscle burst on my back, I started studying for computer science or computer engineering. So at that time, I have decided to get my certification in Microsoft as well as Cisco. So I took a 1 year where I was studying for almost a year, getting all those certifications to be able to get to the stage that I will become engineer. After a year, I got my first job, which was an engineering job within Sprint. I stayed with Sprint for almost 10 years, going from one job to different jobs, and eventually moving to Savvis CenturyLink, which is my current job, and where I am a director of infrastructure.
When you were younger, what did you imagine your job would be?
As mentioned earlier in an interview, One of the things what I did is play sports. I was very athletic. I played soccer and basketball. So through all my life, as a small young child to a teen, you know, I play sports. I play for my national team. And I was really thinking that my job and my career will be in basketball. That I will be a professional basketball player. The life is not as it is, obviously, with things changing and the things have progress, where I was, you know, losing parents at an early age, and then moving to Malaysia, and then getting married and moving to US, where my job, you know, currently is totally different than I ever imagined it will be.
Did you serve in a war zone? When and where?
As many of you may not have known or may know, Yugoslavia was broken in many republics after Tito, who was the president at that time of Yugoslavia, died. So you had Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, every of them wanted to be independent countries. At that time, Serbia was really not willing to let other republic separate from them because they were, you know, the main government, and they wanted all these republics to support the main government and make sure that the money would be paid to them. So in early 90s, the war started from Slovenia, which was one of the republics, going down to Croatia and eventually coming to Bosnia. So in early 90s, as I mentioned, Serbs at that time were trying to occupy Croatia and Bosnia, and without the resistance of Bosniaks at that time, all our towns and countries would be overrun by Serbs. So I was in the zone, in war zone, at back home in my hometown, Tešanj, when Serbs tried to get in to my hometown. We were defending our hometown with basically hunting rifles because we did not have any weapons to be able to defend our town. Later, what we were doing is, because majority of Serbs were drinking and using alcohol and drugs, we were able to buy some of the guns from them that we were actually eventually shooting back at them with the same guns we bought off them. Eventually, me and my friends, when one of the last few people left the town before it was totally surrounded, I was actually very persuaded and pushed by my mom because she did not want me to stay in the war zone. She wanted me really to get out. And as all the young adults, males were fighting, so she really wanted me to get out, where my sister actually stayed with her in my hometown, which after I left, like I just mentioned, was surrounded by Serbs. A year later, or less than a year later, due to constant bombarding by the Serbs, one of that days, my mom was hit by a grenade, and actually she passed away, where my sister was across the street and, you know, at the time of the bombing. After passing of my mom, and, you know, losing my father much earlier in our lives, my sister was actually accepted or actually taken into foster care in America. So she immigrated in America in early 90s as in Olympia, as a foster child. As she was in Olympia, I was in Malaysia, and we obviously did not see each other, you know, from the death of my mom, and it took us almost 10 years to see each other in America once I immigrated with my wife.
When you were growing up, what role did religion or spirituality play in your life?
When we were young kids back home, due to the fact that we were part of the communist country, we really could not or were unable to practice any religion or do anything due to the fact that communists believed in equality. So religion and spirituality had almost a zero play in outside the house. The only time we were able to even talk about religion or even know that what our religion was in confinement on our own house. Because if you were caught speaking about religion or anything else than communism, you would be imprisoned and put in jail basically for a long time. As my father was part of the Communist Party, he was not able to speak anything about it or even mention that, you know, as young adults or a young, you know, children, we were our religious belief was Islam, but we could not say that because if you say that you belong to any religion, but it's Islam, Christianity, or whatever else, Catholicism, you, as I mentioned earlier, will be put in prison for the long time. So once the war started in the early 90s, and eventually after 1995, people were able to express themselves much freely. So now back home, you have freedom of religions where people can be whoever they are, whether you are a Muslim, whether you are Catholic, whether you are Christian, you can do and you can have your religion the way you want it. You'll be able to show it outside the house or inside the house. So that's a huge difference, and it took basically a war and a lot of lost life to be able to freely do that for yourself.
What was the hardest thing to adjust to in this country?
You know, growing up in back home in Bosnia, it's everything is so easygoing and it's easy. People are not stressed. You do not get things if you do not have money. People build their own houses, you know, when they have money and not on credit like here in America. So the hardest thing is to adjust in America really was, you know, the work, the way people are working so hard, the way how people want to be perceived, you know, whether you have a big car, whether you have a, you know, huge house. Are you able to afford these things or that things and everything? Where, you know, growing as a in back home where, you know, it's really not something that we were looking to anybody else. It's just how we can be happy family and everything and how can we grow together. So really adjusting to America lifestyle and America, you know, the way of living was hard for me personally, where in back home was not as important as it is here.
Can you tell me the story of how you came to live in the US?
So being in Malaysia college, meeting my future wife in college, I was where I met, as I say, where I met my future wife, I was put in predicament by my future father-in-law. He basically sit me down. We were talking for a while and he says, so what do you see yourself and where do you see yourself down the road? And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to say I would like to get married with, you know, your daughter and be able to do, you know, and, you know, eventually, you know, be with her. And I was given ultimatum by him basically telling me that, you better finish your school in next semester or you will not be able to move with us back to US because they were moving to US at that time. So my last semester, I had so many credits that I was going to school from morning to night just to be able to finish all, to be able to actually go with them to America because they were all leaving. And only way I was able to come to America would be with them and as a part of, you know, marriage to their daughter, as they were citizens of America and I was a Bosnian citizen. So after my marriage, we were able to get to the embassy where I was able to get a spouse pass to be able to get to America.
Thank you so much for doing my interview. How did you feel it went?
I think this is the great opportunity for us to sit down and talk about the past and ensure that you understand where you come from, the things about me, which you may or may not know. And I really appreciate you giving me opportunity to talk to you. Thank you very much.